Morning. We opened up yesterday the 10th parak of the Masechta in Chulin. We are today on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We're starting today on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. And the Gemara is beginning a discussion of Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Three gifts of an animal that are headed towards the Kohen from every animal that Yishech. This is Manos Kohuna coming from Chulin, not from a Karban. Generally speaking, when we talk about Manos Kohuna, we talk about gifts of the Kohanim. So we're talking about the parts of the Shlamim, Karban Chatas. Even Truma is viewed as having Kedusha. But this is interesting. It's Chulin, it's regular animals, in which parts of it go to the Kohanim. And understandably, that's why it's right here contained in the Masechta of Chulin. These parts that go to the animals, Zor L'Chai V'Keva, so as we discussed yesterday, when we refer to them, we're just simply going to call them the Matanos. And in terms of what they comprise, so the Zor is the right forearm. The keva is the fourth stomach of the animal. L'chaim is the jaw, the lower jaw of the animal. Why specifically these parts? So the Sefer Chinuch, I'm not going to read it now, but the Sefer Chinuch has a really interesting take in terms of why these three parts are given to the Kohen. Okay, yesterday we dealt with mostly the Mishnah. The Mishnah made up two basic points, and the Gemara yesterday, at least for the first half of yesterday's daf, dealt with the first point of the Gemara. The first part of the Gemara dealt with the theoretical Kal V'Chomer that said, look, if I have to give Zor L'Chai V'Keva from Chulin, so then Kal V'Chomer, then for sure I should be have to give it from Karbanos as well. And specifically Karban Shlamim, we know the Karban Shlamim. So there are some pieces of a Karban Shlamim that head towards the Kohen, specifically Chaz V'Shok, the chest and the back thigh, right thigh of the animal. Those are parts of a shlamim that go to the Kohen. So the Gemara, the Mishnah for a moment, theorized and entertained a Kal V'Chomer. Well, if the Chaz V'Shok have to go to a Kohen from a Karban Shlamim, then for sure Zor L'Chai V'Keva also have to go to a Kohen from the Shlamim as well. Okay, and the Gemara yesterday challenged the Kal V'Chomer. Is it a good Kal V'Chomer? And but regardless, however, we know what the conclusion is. And the conclusion, of course, is no. Meaning that from Chulin, it's only Zor L'Chai V'Keva, and from Kachim, from Shlamim, it's only Chaz V'Shok. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday in terms of the first half of yesterday's daf. Second half of yesterday's daf, which we are in the middle of discussing right now, is the halach of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that if, let's say, my manos kahuna, in other words, not mine, but in other words, the animal that I have, of which I have to give the manos kahuna to the Kohen. Let's say I take those manos kahuna and I destroy them. I destroy them, I eat them, and okay. And what kind of liability are we talking about? What kind of reimbursement do I have to give to the Kohen after having consumed or destroyed the Manos Kahuna? And Rav Chista says zero. Pater Milashalim. One is exempt from having to pay. Now, obviously, state the most obvious point of the day, and that is, of course, you shouldn't do that, meaning these are Manos Kahuna. These are entitlements to the Kohen. The Kohen is counting on you. You are supposed to be giving these portions to the Kohen. So, to just state the obvious, obviously, we're not talking about what is morally and ethically right. And by the way, what is morally and ethically right is mitzvahs of the Torah. So, in other words, there's a mitzvah in the Torah in order to give it to the Kohen. So, that becomes now, obviously, what you should do. That's the ideal. But nevertheless, the point is that if I were to take the Manos Kahuna and I destroy them or I consume them, so there is no liability. I do not have to pay back the Kohen. Now, why not? So the reason why not, says the Gemara, is twofold. There are two possible reasons. One, says the Gemara, it's a drush in the Pasuk. The Torah says, when introducing us to the Manos Kahuna, the Torah uses the word zeh. So the drasha that the Gemara gave yesterday is that only when they are in existence is there an obligation to give them the Kohen. But if they're no longer in existence, and even if the reason they're no longer in existence is not a good reason, meaning I ate it, but still it's no longer in existence, and therefore there's no longer an obligation upon me to give it to the Kohen. That's one possibility. The other possibility, says the Gemara in yesterday's daf, is that Manos Kahuna, specifically Zor L'Chai V'Keva, are, and the truth of the matter is you could say this about any one of the Manos Kahuna, but really specifically regarding the Zor L'Chai V'Keva, it's Mamash Ein Lo Tovim. This is money that doesn't really have a claimant, because we know that when it comes to Manos Kahuna, so although that he is a recipient, but at the same time, he doesn't have to be the recipient. Meaning, I have the ability to allocate and decide which coin I'm going to give it to. I can give it to him, I can give it to somebody else. It really doesn't matter which Kohen I give it to, as long as I give it to a Kohen. Now, there, as we discussed in yesterday's daf, there is a bit of a pecking order in the Kohanim. I should choose the Talmud Chacham and not Am Aretz, but still, the choice is mine. And so therefore, no singular Kohen can come knocking on my door and say, hey, Good morning. I heard you just shechted an animal. Let me have my zor l'chai v'keva. It simply doesn't work that way. I have the ability to decide. Therefore, this is a claim against me, but there's no claimant. No singular person can come after me. Right? In America, we come up with, in legalities, we come up with a class action suit because, you know, we basically solved for this problem, so to say, of what happens when, you know, I can't claim it myself. So fine, so we all get together. But in terms of a legal definition, this is what's called mamashein lotovim, and therefore I don't have to pay. Is there a difference between whether this is learned through a drasha or this is learned through a svara of mamashein lotovim? So Tosfos in yesterday's daf said, yes, there's going to be a difference. And that is, says Tosfos, whether or not there's a moral obligation, latzeis yidei shamayim. Meaning, if it's a drasha that once it's no longer here in this world, I simply don't have to pay, so that's it. It just simply means there's no longer any obligation to pay the manas kahuna, period. I can't be taken to Beis Din, nor is there any kind of a higher obligation to pay. Masha Enkein, if I'm learning that this is a mamashein lo tovim, that just simply means that we ran into a technicality. I'm not paying because there's no particular claimant against me, but there's an obligation. It's just that nobody can claim that obligation. So I can't be taken to court. On the other hand, if the svar is mamashein lo tovim, Tosfos writes, so then there couldn't very well, in fact, be a chiyuv latzeis yidei shamayim. Meaning after 120 years, when I meet my maker, so he's going to ask me, how come you ate the matnas kahuna? And you didn't make restitution on it. Okay, very good. So that's the that was the statement of Rav Chissi yesterday. And for the rest of yesterday's daf, which we didn't finish, which we're going to start off with this morning, the Gemara now wants to see and test whether or not this is a defensible position. That if I were to eat the matnas kahuna or destroy the matnas kahuna, I don't have to pay them back. That's the halacha of Rav Chista. And is it defensible? And the Gemara basically is going to spend the rest of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, defending the position, despite the fact that we do have Mishnayos and Braisa that would seem to indicate that you do have to pay. We're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Tashma. We are a little bit more than halfway down on Amud Beis, on Kuf Lam and Amud Beis. Second word in the line and the third word in the line are Tashma. And we begin now by quoting a Mishnah, the Mishnah in Peah. Balabai Shaya over Mimakam Mamakam. So you have a Balabai who's traveling. And this Balabai in particular is wealthy. Now, when I say wealthy, I just simply mean that he's not entitled to any kind of handouts. In order to receive any one of the Matnos Aniyim, any one of the gifts of the poor, so you have to be at a certain financial level. At a financial threshold. The Gemara's in the beginning of Baba Basra discussed this extensively, and the Mishnayos and Peah also discussed it. So in the meantime, however, for our purposes right now, we'll just look at it really simply, and we'll discuss a person either being an Ani and Ashir, and vis-a-vis going to the soup kitchen, he's an Ashir. Meaning he's not entitled to go. However, he's in the middle of traveling. Now, nowadays we have something called a credit card. It's fantastic. I'm sure you've heard of it. It allows you to go and basically spend money even though you don't have money. So back in the day when you were traveling, so you didn't have a credit card, and whatever money he can carry with you, he carried with you. But while traveling, he was poor. Poor just simply meaning he didn't have money on him. So now, as a traveling usher, can you change in status and become poor while traveling? So the Mishnah and Peah discusses this very issue and debates this issue. Balabai shaya over mimakom mamakom v'tzarach lito leket shicha upeo maiser ani notel. So let's say while traveling, so that he literally has nothing to eat, he has no food, so he can go around and he can collect leket, shichacha, peah. We're going to be discussing them in more detail this morning, but right now we could just simply say matnos aniyim. And also maaser ani in the third and sixth year. That second 10% is maaser ani. And he could take that as well. Now he could take it because he's entitled. So this is the first opinion of that Mishnah and Peah. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer says, here's how he navigates. Ulechisha yachzor yishalem. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now Rabbi Eliezer says that when he goes home, he's going to do is he's going to write a check, and he's going to reimburse for all the matnos aniyim that he ate. So Rabbi Eliezer's position, a really interesting one, it's tricky to understand, but Rabbi Eliezer's position is that while he's on the road, he's entitled to take it not because his status actually changed from being an usher to an ani. But the understanding that he's traveling right now and he needs something to eat. However, when he does get home, he's expected to write a check.
He's the recipient of his checks.
That's a wonderful question. That is a great question. I'm not sure. The question was, who's he writing the check out to? Yeah, it's great. So I'm Rav Chista. Now, on this, Rav Chista qualifies and makes the following statement: Midas Chasidus Shanukan. The idea that he's writing a check right now is Midas Chasidus. It is not. It is not the letter of the law. It's a level of piety. You don't have to write the check. You just simply, if you'd like to, you know it's the right thing to do. So you should write a check, but you don't have to write a check. And certainly by any kind of basic legal grounds, you do not need to write a check. Now, I'm a Rava. Now, I'm sorry. So the before we move to Rava's point. So at this point in time, here's what the Gemara is thinking. The Gemara is thinking is that you just took Matnos Aniyim. And the Gemara right now is making a comparison between Matnos Aniyim and Matnos Kahuna. Now, who exactly is the recipient of those Matnos Aniyim? Aniyim are the recipients, and you were not at the time. But you took it anyway. And you took it, and what? And you're expected to pay back. Who's making a claim against you? Exactly. This is Mamash Ein Lo Tovim. There's no one particular poor person who can come knocking on your door, hey, you travel through town, and you took my Matnos Aniyim? Now, on one hand, they are his, but in theory, they're his. Meaning, if he goes out and he takes it. But prior to him taking it, so there could have been other Aniyim, and they also were entitled to it. So this is another example of Mamash Ein Lo Tovim. And meanwhile, Rabbi Eliezer in that Mishnah Peah says he has to reimburse. But on that, Rav Chista made a comment. Rav Chista said, that's not the letter of the law. That's just a level of piety. Now, so what does it sound like with Rav Chista? It sounds like from Rav Chista that he doesn't have to pay. Meaning, it's a level of piety. It's Midas Chasidus, but he doesn't have to pay. That's what it sounds like right now regarding to Mamash Ein Lo Tovim. So Amar Rav Chista says, I'll tell you what. All this does not sit well with me. So Tana Tani Yishalim Va'atamarit Midas Chasidus Shanukan. So first and foremost, you really understand Rav Chista in that Mishnah Peah. The position of Rabbi Eliezer is very clear. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yishalim. That's instruction. You must pay. And now Rav Chista is saying, oh no, that's just a level of piety. That's just Midas Chasidus. That's number one. That doesn't sit well with me. And Va'od Mid Rabbi Eliezer Leikim Leisov. And on top of that, you know the Mishnah Peah is going to have another opinion. We're going to see it together in just a moment. And the second opinion is the Shita of the Chachamim. So you have a Mishnah Peah that has a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Now who do you think we're going to side with? We're going to side with the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer, first and foremost, is a Das Yachid. On top of that, it's also Rabbi Eliezer, which, right, if you've been around long enough, you know that his Shita is, generally speaking, a rejected Shita. It's still part and parcel of Torah. It's still Chefsa Shel Torah, but it's a position, as far as halach is concerned, that's not an accepted position. So you're asking a question from Rabbi Eliezer. So let me say, so the Gemara says, you're right. So let's now turn to the second half of that Mishnah and Peah, and let's learn together. The Chachamim Amrim Ani Haya Ba'oso Shah. So the Chachamim take a very different position regarding the traveling usher. The traveling usher is an Ani. In other words, according to the Chachamim, your status really can change. You can go from being an usher to an ani. Now, time of the ani. Now, over here, the Chachamim say that he does not have to pay because his status changes. Now, if we could just for a moment step back from that Mishnah, what would be if his status didn't change? Seemingly, it would be very clear what the halacha would be if his status had not changed. He would have to pay. So, ha usher mishalim. Amale have a kamazik matnas kahuna. Osha achlan. Now, over here, the comparison, the Gemara spells out the comparison, although we already observed it. But the Gemara spells it out. The taking of the Matnos Aniyim is no different, when you're not entitled, is no different than the owner taking the Matnos Kahuna, when of course he's not entitled. He needs it to give it to a Kohen. And what we've deduced from the Mishnah, specifically in the Shita of the Chachamim, is that now you must pay. Only because the Chachamim are of the opinion that you change status from being an usher to an ani, you don't have to pay. But if your status didn't change, then you do have to pay. And all this now is going to be difficult against Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista says that by Mamash Ein Lo Tovim, you don't have to pay. So I'm Rav Chista, Midas Chasidus Shanukan. And now we could say it. Now we're going to insert the explanation of Rav Chista, the proviso of Rav Chista, and that is, this is Midas Chasidus. Meaning, your deduction is wonderful. If you were an usher, you do have to pay. But not according to the strict letter of the law. That's only because of a level of piety that you have to pay. But it's according to strict letter of the law, you don't have to pay him. Why not? Because it's mamash ein lo tovim. Period. Okay, so what we have done now is, first of all, we have put Rav Chisda in its rightful place, not on Rabbi Eliezer, but on the sheet of the Chachamim, and now it comes out that Rav Chisda, in explaining the sheet of the Chachamim, comes out consistent with his position, that if you're taking money that doesn't have a claimant against it, so then you shouldn't have done it, obviously, but the legalities, the liabilities that you do not need to pay. Tashma. The Gemara continues, Minala Balabai Sha'achal Perasav Tevelin, if an owner eats his fruit prior, or I should say better, while it's in a state of tevel, meaning before trumas and maizos were separated, or if a levi were to eat his produce, now remember, a levi is the recipient of maizos rishon, of which he's then in turn going to give 10% over to the kohen. So before separating that trumas maizos, it is maizos tevel. It's Meiser still in an untithed state because he hasn't taken off the Trumas Meiser as of yet. In both scenarios, if the Baal Bais were to eat his Tevel or if a Levi were to eat his Meiser Rishon in a state of Tevel, so again, should he have done it? Of course, the answer is no. But what kind of financial liability? Putter? Just right now, we're dealing with the liability. In other words, there are occasions in which you can eat it. But is he obligated to pay? So pater min atashlamim. So tamar lamar v'lo yichalu es kache b'nei Yisrael she'yarimu ein lecha behen ela mishas harama ve'elech. So the Gemara says, because you haven't taken off Trumas and Maisos yet. Now, the obvious deduction over here is that after you've taken off Trumas and Maisos, you are not entitled to eat it, and furthermore, and this is the important part, and you'd be financially liable. So over here, you just consumed Trumas and Maisos, and liability sounds like there absolutely is. When our Levi eats his Meiser Rishon after having taken off Trumas and Meisros, after having taken off Trumas Meiser, and he eats the Trumas Meiser, deductively it sounds like he has to pay. So once again, even though it's Mamashein Lo Tovim, no one particular Kohen can come over and demand his Truma, nevertheless, you have to pay. So Hamishas Harama Ve'elech Mi'am Mishalim. So again, it's a question against Rav Chisda. So hachinami the asul liyadei b'tivlayhu. So the Gemara says, okay. And what we're going to have to suggest one more time is that over here we're talking about a scenario where it was already handed over to the Kohen in its state of tevel. Now, how do you hand truma over to a Kohen while the truma is in a state of tevel? So Rashi over here comes up with two explanations. We're on the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Rashi writes, "Also the idea the Kohen b'tevlayu shuvkad hatevel etzlo." Basically, what he did is he said to the Kohen, "Here, look. Right now, here's all my produce, and I know you're entitled to a percentage of it. Right, for truma, it's 2%. Do me a favor. I'm gonna deposit everything by you. You'll hold it for me, everything, while in a state of tevel." Now, you just gave it to a Kohen while it's in a state of Tevel. And so, question. The Truma portion, which has not yet been separated from this pile, does that not right now currently belong to the Kohen? And that's what the Mishnah is dealing with. And the Mishnah's response to that is yes. Now, what really comes down... Yes, he's entitled to it. It's his. Now, at this point in time, you have to wonder, well, if it's his, how could it be his prior to separating Trumas and Maisers? And the answer is that it comes to a very basic question, a fundamental question. How do I look at pre-tithe Truma? Pre-tithe Truma, is that considered Truma in a latent state, but it's still Truma, or no? That while it's in a state of Teva, while it's untithed, there is no definition whatsoever, even though we know what's going to be happening in the future. We know that Trumas and Maisos are going to be separated. But in an untithed state, we simply look at no definition whatsoever. It is a totally undefined pile, and the Kohen is not entitled to it. What the Gemara is now saying is that this Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that even though it's in a state of Tevel, it's untithed, nevertheless, if the Kohen is holding it, he's actually now acquiring his Truma. Even though it hasn't been tithed yet, and he doesn't quite frankly know which part is his yet, whatever part will become Truma is in fact going to be his. The Kasavar, just give me a moment. The Kasavar Haitana Matna Shalohorma Kamisha Horma Damyan. And the author of this Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint that that matanos prior to them being separated are as if they're already separated. Now, if all this is true, now the Mishnah is dealing with the scenario that who's the actual owner of it? Right now, the Kohen is the owner of it. Then when you come over and you take it and you eat it, so in that circumstance, there's going to be a liability and you will have to pay because you actually took from the Kohen who actually acquired it. And that's why you would have to pay. But in a simple scenario where you haven't given it to the Kohen yet, so then you don't, and you ate it, so then you don't have to pay because once again, this is Rav Chisda subscribing to Matnos, Matanos, I'm sorry, Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, and therefore you don't have to pay. Yeah, Ben.
My question is, why wouldn't it be Brera then? Did the Kohen...
Maybe it would subscribe to Brera. Maybe if you subscribe to this idea of Manos Lo Hurma Kamisha Hurma Damia, maybe you're also going to be reliant on the Brera position. Now, we know, right, we've done this enough times, we know that it's subject to a machlokus, but it could very well be that this opinion subscribes to Yesh Breira. Could be. And it could very well be that the Gemara doesn't make that point clearly, and they're just simply escaping my memory. That could also be. I mean, for sure. Tashma. Hare she'ansu beis ha-melech grano. Im b'chovo chayv la'aser. Im b'akparos potem la'aser. Gemara now is describing the following scenario where basically the tax collector is coming on behalf of the king and is taking produce from you. And you were obligated, well, we'll get to your obligation in just a moment, but before we define what exactly your obligation was. So he took, and he took from your garen, and now let's just imagine for a moment that he took your truma and your meiser. Okay, fine. I was going to give it to the Kohen, I was going to give it to the Levi, but you know what? The tax collector came and took it, fine. Do I have to make restitution to the Kohen and Levi for the portions that were given for my taxes? And so the Braisa over here says, it depends. And let's go over what does it depend on. Harisha Ansu Beis HaMelech Grano, Im Bechovo Chayv La'aser. So, if it was because you were actually obligating those taxes, and Rashi describes Shahaya Chayv Lo Davar Katsuv Mamon, you were actually obligated a specific sum of money. So that means to say now that you have to make a reimbursement. And you have to now reimburse the Kohen and the Levi whatever was taken from you, meaning you're obligated. However, if it is ba'agpares, not familiar with the word, but basically for something that is something that you were not obligated, in other words, the king exercises authority illegally, illicitly, and he took something that he was not entitled to take. So under those circumstances, patam la'aser, you don't have to take off trumas and maisos once again, and you do not have to make a reimbursement. Okay, but let's go on the first part of that Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah describes a scenario in which the taxes were taken from you legally, and of those taxes that were taken, trumas and maisos were taken from you, and you have to make good for those trumas and maisos that were taken away. Why? Why do you have to make good on those trumas and maisos that were taken away? I don't get it. That's Mama Shein Lo Tovin. Who's going to make the claim against you for these trumas and maestros? The answer, of course, is it could be any Kohen and it could be any Levi. This is a classic example of Mama Shein Lo Tovin. And yet, the Mishnah says, or the Braisa, that you have to pay. You have a liability in which you have to pay for that which was taken away from you. Why would you have to do that, according to Rav Chisda? It's a strong question. The answer is really interesting. Shani Hasim Dekamishtar Shelei. So the Gemara says, well, that case is different over there because you benefited and you profited. Meaning you owe those taxes. So since you owe those taxes, that's money that had to come out of your pocket. And since that's money that had to come out of your pocket, and now you're using Trumas or Maestro's money to pay for that, for money that you had to pay for, so you obviously are going to have to make a reimbursement because you can't profit from that. Now, when you think about the Gemara's answer, you have to be wondering to yourself, wait 1 second. The entire discussion here started with the following scenario. I have an animal that I shechted. There are parts of the animal that the Kohen's entitled to, specifically Zro L'chai V'keiva, and I decided that I'm not going to give it to the Kohen, but I'm going to eat it. That's called profit. That's called benefiting. And so the Gemara's answer over here, although it sounds good, but when you compare it to where the discussion started in the Gemara, well, what's the difference between profiting because you owe those taxes versus, hey, I just had a wonderful dinner and I didn't have to pay for it. Cohen paid for my dinner. Isn't that the same? So I hope you're wondering. Tosfos certainly wonders about that as well. Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. V'im Tamar, second Tosfos, third line down. Short Tosfos. V'im Tamar, manas kahuna kisha achlam mishtar shelei. So once we learn now that if in fact your matnas kahuna are taken from you and you profited from that and you profited from that destruction, so if that's true, so then we go back to the beginning of our whole discussion and why then would you not have to reimburse? So Tosfos talks about profiting versus profiting. And he basically says like this. When, in fact, you're obligated to pay the taxes, it's not something that you can get around. In other words, you have to pay those taxes. And if the matnas kahuna is what's paying your taxes, so you are absolutely profiting without any reservation whatsoever. However, if we're talking about just dinner, I got news for everybody. We could skip dinner. Meaning, yes, of course you're getting benefit from eating dinner, but that's not an obligation. It's not something where I am now going to be on record where I didn't eat dinner that night, and now look at the gain that I received. That is not an absolute gain. It's not a fixed cost of your living. You could skip dinner. And so the Tosfos makes a distinction versus something which is just simply a benefit, like the eating of dinner, versus paying your taxes, where that's not just a benefit, but that's an absolute cost. It's a fixed cost that you're going to have to pay. And because you were excused from it because of the Trumas and Maestros, so therefore, for sure, you're going to have to take off Trumas and Maestros once again. That's Tosfos' distinction. Tashma. Back to the Gemara. Top, towards the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Amar lo mecholi b'nei mea ha'shel para. This is a Mishnah coming up a little bit later in our Perek. And that is, you go to the butcher, and you're interested in kishke and stomachs. You want the entire GI tract. So you go to the butcher and you say, do me a favor, right? That looks delicious. And you demand the entire GI tract. Now included, in the GI tract, is of course the fourth stomach of the animal, the keva. Now the butcher is going to give it to you, but he really shouldn't have, meaning that belongs to the Kohen. But he did so anyway. And you paid for the entire GI tract. And now Kohen comes knocking on your door and says, look, I heard you have my keva. Okay, fine. You're right, I do. And here it is. Can I now go back to the butcher and say, sir, I paid for the entire GI tract, but what part of what you sold me was a keva. I then in turn gave it to the Kohen, which is the right thing to do, but can you now demand a reimbursement for the keva that was taken from you? And so the Mishnah deals with this scenario, and the Mishnah once again says, well, it depends. What does it depend on? So let's see the Mishnah together. Amala mechorli b'nei me'asho parva haya ben matnos kahuna nosan l'kohen ve'enu menakalo min hadamim. Now, if I buy the GI tract without weight, just simply, look, I'm going to just simply buy the entire GI tract, right, stomachs, intestines, the whole thing, everything, and it's not sold by weight. So then the understanding, of course, is that you bought everything but the keva. I am giving you the keva right now. Okay, so I'm shifting the responsibility from me to you. I was supposed to give it to the Kohen. You give it to the Kohen. But over here, there's not going to be any kind of reimbursement. Because the understanding is that this keva was not for sale. I'll give it to you, but just giving you, all I'm giving you is the responsibility to give it to the Kohen. However, but let's say this was sold by the pound. So this was sold by the pound, and now we put it on the scale, and I paid for every pound, including the keva, so then obviously I can expect a reimbursement for the keva that I purchased, because that was not for sale. He shouldn't have sold it for me. I didn't buy it. I spent money on it. I'm going to get a reimbursement. So, noslan kohen menakalo min adamim. Okay, good. So that is the halacha in the Mishnah that we're going to be learning coming up in tomorrow's daf. And the Gemara's question is, am I lehavik emazik manos kahuna o shachlam? So the Gemara says, so that's so interesting. So over here, so why should it be? As far as the deduction is concerned, so he sold something that doesn't belong to him. Okay, good. He shouldn't have done that. I get it. And he sold it by the pound, and he shouldn't have done that as well. Okay, but this is matno she'ein lahem tovim. This is money that there's no one particular claim. So why should it be now that he's in fact entitled to receive a reimbursement? So shani hasam de'isnu ba'inayhu. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember, Even when Rav Chisda says that there's no liability, that's only talking about in a situation where the item is no longer in existence. The item is no longer in existence, and now you're able to you're exempted yourself from paying. Correct, because the item is no longer in existence. But if the item is still there, of course you're going to have to give it to the Kohen, and of course you can demand a reimbursement from the butcher. Okay, Tashma. Now over here we're going to be learning a brisa together. Rashi spends a lot of time on this amud dealing with the number 9. The brisa opens up with the number 9. Rashi says I prefer the number 15. Now, for our purposes right now, I'll be honest with you, we don't have to get into the weeds of whether the number is 9 or 15. You don't know what I'm talking about as of yet. If you haven't gone over the daf yet, it doesn't matter. Right now, it's just a number of categories of matnos kahuna, whether it be 9 or whether it be 15. And in the Rashi, by the way, I went through all 15 categories. It doesn't, for our purposes right now, and the point the Gemara is going to make, it doesn't really matter. And they're 24 in total. Right, we're talking about categories over here and how to categorize a matnas kahuna. So Tisha nichsei kohen. So there are 9 gifts to the kohen. Okay, again, you could see the Rashi. I encourage you to do so. I did so myself. It's important, but for our purposes right now, we're just gonna plot along in the Gemara. Truma, that's the basic truma. Truma's meiser, the truma taken off from meiser rishon, which we discussed moments earlier. V'chala, and that's the portion of dough given to the kohen. Reishis hagez. The shearings of your sheep, the first shearings go to the Kohen, that's next perik in our Masechta. Umatanos, that's our discussion. Zor l'chai v'keva, the hadamai, a questionable produce where we don't know if the Amarites did in fact take off Trumas and Maestros. We're responsible to take it off when we purchase it. Habikurim, first fruits. Hakeren v'achomesh, if you inadvertently eat Truma, so you have to make full restitution and you have to add a chomesh as well. Okay. So all these items that are mentioned in the Braisa, Limai. Now we're putting them all together to make what point? So Lav Lahotziam B'dayanim. So over here the point is as follows. That in the event that I consume any of these items, I am obligated to make a reimbursement. Furthermore, I could be taken to court. This all seems to be a challenge against Rav Chisda. So lo. So the Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding. That's not the point of grouping all them together. Lichiditnan. By grouping them together, we're teaching the following halacha. Lama amu nichsei kohen shekona b'hem avadim v'karkos, u'behem etameo b'alchov, not lim b'chovo, v'isha b'ksuvasa v'sefer Torah. The only point that this brisa is making is the following, is that when a kohen receives any one of these allocations, they are his, totally his. He could do whatever he wants with it. He has full bailus, he has full ownership of these items. If he wants to, he could purchase slaves, he could purchase property, he could purchase non-kosher animals. It doesn't matter. In other words, it's his money with the option of doing whatever he wants. If he has debts to pay off, he could do that. Notlim b'chovo. Isha b'ksuv asaf, he wants to marry a woman with this money and use it to secure the ksuva. He could do that as well. He can even buy a Sefer Torah. Really interesting Rashi over here. He can even buy a Sefer Torah. Like, why is that even such a chiddush? Rashi writes, "Afal pi she'eino la'achila v'lo la'davar she'yavo li'dei achila." A Sefer Torah is not a commodity. A Sefer Torah is something that you buy and you keep. And you by law, you have to keep. And it is not something that you can share or transfer or trade. Now, there are circumstances where you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, as per the Gemara and Megillah, but the default is it's not a commodity. And still, if the Kohen's interested in buying a Sefer Torah with his allocation, he's allowed to do so. That's the entire point of the Braisa. Ad Kan Sugya Sagamara. This is, you could put a period right here in the Gemara. This is it. This is now where the Gemara has concluded its discussion. And so for right now, it started with a statement by Rav Chisda on the top of Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, where Rav Chisda says that if I eat my manos kahuna, specifically, we're talking here Zerol L'chai V'keva, but as we've discussed now, for the last almost full daf of Gemara, it's true by any of the manos kahuna. If I consume any of it, so I shouldn't have done it. Again, that's the obvious point of this morning. And if I do so, there's not going to be a financial liability, and I will not have to pay. And again, it's either a drasha, or it's based on the premise of Maman She'en Lo Tovim. The Gemara spent the last almost daf of Gemara attacking this position, based on various Mishnayos and Braisos. And throughout, we have been defensive of the Rav Chisda's position. At the end of today's daf, the Gemara is going to say that this, in fact, is the halacha like Rav Chista. We move on to a new discussion of the Gemara. How Hu Levi, there was a Levi, right? A Ben Levi. The Avachatav Masasam. And what he would do is that he would take the matanos, he would be chotef, he would grab them. Okay, matanos kahuna that is supposed to be given to the kohen. It's built into the name, matanos kahuna, gifts to the kohen. And he felt, well, look, I'm not a kohen, but I do get the second aliyah every Shabbos. Like, I'm close, so that should entitle me to the matanos kahuna, right? And of course, he's not correct. It goes to the kohanim, not to the levium. Levium do get allocations. They do get distributions. They get meiser, but not matanos kahuna, and this is matanos kahuna. So, Asu Amru Le Larav, and they went in and they reported him to Rav. So, Amru La Mistai De Lo Shaklin Mine, Ella, Michtaf Na Michatif. So, Rav says, look, it's rather unbelievable. What a degree of chutzpah. We don't take the Manas Kahuna from him, but then he has the audacity, he has the chutzpah that he's going to go and take Manas Kahuna from other people. Now, all the statement of Rav is very confusing, meaning he doesn't give Manas Kahuna. But he's certainly not allowed to take. Which side are we on right now? If the Levi is not a Kohen, which he's not, so then not only is he not allowed to take, he should have to give Manas Kahuna. When he has an animal, and Ishach has an animal, he should be required to give the Manas Kahuna over to a Kohen. And if he is not obligated to give, well, if you're not a giver, then presumably you're a recipient. And so that means that he should be able to receive the Manas Kahuna. Well, where's Rav standing over here without Levi? It's confusing, right? And it is confusing. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. V'Rav. E ikru am. Now over here, the way the Gemara phrases the question is, we know that when the Torah describes the obligation to give Manas Kahuna, it is when the am, the nation, shechs their animals. Now, we know who the am is. The am is basically not the Kohanim. That part's clear. Right, so I'm from Sheva Yehuda. Now, I happen not to know. I could be from Sheva Binyamin. I could be from one of the lost tribes. Who knows? But I know I'm not from Sheva Levi, and I'm certainly not a Kohen. So for me, I'm certainly part of the Am. When I shech an animal, I have to give Manas Kahuna to a Kohen. That part's clear. What about somebody who's from Sheva Levi? Is he now from the Am, who's obligated to give the Manas Kahuna, or is he not from the Am? Is he, in this regard, part of the Kohanim? And so the Gemara says, this is exactly the doubt of Rav. So, V'Rav, I ikra am mishkan am lishka minayhu. So if anyone from Sheva Levi, or let's just simply say, somebody who's a Levi. So if he's from Am, so that means, of course, that he has to give Manas Kahuna. And why are we taking from them? And then, I lo ikru am, and if they're not part of Am, so Rachmana Patrinu. So the Chachamim. The Torah totally excused and exempted from him having to give. And presumably, now the Gemara doesn't make this point, and it's obviously a bigger chiddush, and he can also take as well. Now, that part's obviously a tremendous chiddush, and I'm not sure if the Gemara is going that far, but certainly, whether or not he's from Am or he's not from Am, so that's a binary issue. So the Gemara says, Misafka le'i ikru am ilo ikru am. So the Gemara says, well, Rav is exactly in the middle of this debate. He doesn't know. He has not conclusively decided whether or not Levi's from Am or not from Am, and so is he obligated to give? Unsure. Now, here's the story. Because of this uncertainty, so we're not going to go over to a Levi, just shechted an animal, and say, okay, you need to give Manas Kahuna, because Rav doesn't know whether he is or is not from the Am. So from the standpoint of him having to give Manas Kahuna, so because of the suffix, Rav is not going to extract it from him. Hamotzi mechaveru al averaya. We're not going to take it from him. On the other hand, however, is he entitled to take Manas Kahuna? So clearly no. And that's exactly Rav's point. Now, Yosef Rav Papa v'kam l'lash ma'isa. Now, Rav Papa was going over this exact question. Eser Ravidi bar Avin l'Rav Papa. And the following question arises. Arba matanos aniyim shebekerem. Now, there are, when we're talking about a vineyard, there are four distributions that go to the poor people from the vineyard. Haper va'olos v'ashicha v'apeya. The peret is any grapes that went uncollected in the vineyard. Ololos, small, undeveloped, unripened grapes. Shichacha, any grapes that I have forgotten. And Peah is a corner of the vineyard that goes to the poor people. So there are four different types of allocations coming from the vineyard. Shalosh betzvua. Now, in the wheat field or any one of the grain fields, there are three distributions going to the poor. Lekesh shechacha and peya. So any uncollected stalks, any forgotten sheaves, and the corn of the field. Shnaim shebi ilan hashicha ve'apeah. And when going to the olive trees, so there are going to be two. There's going to be shichacha and there's going to be peah. Kulan in mem tovas ana labalim. And as far as the owner's concerned, he does not have tovas ana. Tovas ana is the value that we put on when you have a ability to decide who receives this these gifts. Regarding these gifts, the owner of the field does not have tovas ana, meaning he cannot decide who it goes to. It's just simply an entitlement. It's a distribution, but not distributed. It's the ani comes to your house and he takes it, huh?
It's passive.
And an ani can go over to the owner who has, for whatever reason, taken any one of these distributions for himself, and the ani can just simply take it right out of his hands. Meiser ani, amischalik besoch beso, yesh bo tovas ana labalim. Ve'afil ani shebiso, motzino so miyado. Now, as far as meiser ani is concerned, in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, that second 10% is designated as meiser ani. Here, there is a distribution. Here, the owner of this produce is allowed to decide and determine who's going to be the recipient. He can distribute it from his home. He can collect it and distribute it from his home. The poor people, Mosino Somiado, could take it from his hands. Visharmat Natskuhuna Kigon, Azrov Lachaiva Keva, Ain Motsin Oso, Lo Mikon Lakoin, Velomi Levi Lalevi. Now, as far as something like Zor Lachaiva Keva, which is obviously a Kohen Matana, it's a Kohen distribution. So you do not take it from one Kohen to another Kohen, and you don't take it from a Levi to another Levi. Ad Kan Divrei HaBraisa. Now, in this Braisa, Arba Matana, I'm sorry. Now, the question the Gemara is going to ask, just wait a little bit before the Gemara asks the question. The question is kind of obvious. Meaning, a Levi doesn't give to another Levi, but presumably a Levi gives to a Kohen. That's the deduction from the Braisa. You can see it pretty clearly. But before the Gemara asks that question, the Gemara just wants to cross every T, dot every I. Four distributions from the vineyard, three from the wheat field, two from the orchard. And how do we know all this? And I'm going to go through this part really quickly. The Gemara is just simply going to cite drashas and psukim that arrive that bring us to this conclusion. Now, why the Gemara over here is injecting this section of Gemara over here? Probably because we don't have Gemaras on Seder Zrayim. So when you're given the opportunity to give us all the drashas for all these manosaniyim, so the Gemara just doesn't want to miss an opportunity. That's probably why the Gemara is doing so now. So, as far as the four distributions that come from the vineyard, how do I know that dichsiv chamecha lo se'olel, uperit chamecha lo se'lakeh? So that gives us already the distributions of ololos and perit. Uksiv kisiv tzor chamecha lo se'olel acharecha. Now the word acharecha over here teaches us a third distribution. Am Rabbi Leva acharecha zu shichecha. That's the forgotten vineyard. Meaning I already collected from this vineyard and I left some of the grapes behind me. So acharecha means I don't turn around and get them. That was shichecha. Now, an allocation, a gift to the poor. Peya, gamor acharecha recha mizayis. Dichtiv ki sichbot zeisecha lo sifa'er acharecha. V'tan deber v'shmo shalo titol tifa'er tomi menu. And as far as the halacha peya is concerned, so we are learning the halacha of peya from the olive trees, from the psukim regarding the olives and the olive tree. There's a mitzvah peya. Here there's a mitzvah peah as well. Let's call it a gzera shava. Shlosha shebitzvua. There are three distributions when it comes from the grain field. As we turn to the next, to the top of Amud Beis. Halaket hashichcha ve'apeah dichziv ve'kutzrachem es kitzir artzachem lo sechala pa'atzadacha be'kutzracha ve'laket kitzircha. And then another pasuk. Kisik tzor kitzircha besadcha. V'shichachas omer besad... I'm sorry. V'shichachas Omer. So these psukim speak to the three distributions that are related to a wheat field. Besada Shnayim, in the orchard there's going to be two. I'm sorry. Omer Besada. Sorry. Kama. Shnayim should be Elon, two distributions coming from the trees. Hashichcha v'apeah, dichsiv ki sichbot zeisecha, lo sifa'er acharecha. So the acharecha v'tan debe Rav Yishmael shelo titol tifarto mimenu. So I'm sorry. So the first halacha is peah. That's the tiferes. That's the glory of a field. Is that peah has to be going to the aniyim, a corner of the field. And acharecha zu shechacha v'kulan ein bem tovas ana labalim maitaima. Why is it that there's no tovas anaim for these particular allocations? There is no distribution. Meaning the aniyim come and take for themselves. So aziva k'siv b'hu, because in all these circumstances, the Torah uses the words aziva, ta'azov. Leave it for the aniyim. V'yafil anisha b'yisrael motzino som yadu, d'chziv aleke kitzir chalo salakeit, l'ani v'lager ta'azov osam, l'hazir ani al shalo. Meaning this is a directive for the ani. You, the ani, are totally entitled to them. If the homeowner takes these matnos aniyim, you can go and you can take them yourselves. U'maisar ani mischalik b'socha b'ayis yesh b'tovas anal l'balim ma'itayma. Now, as far as the Meiser Ani of the third and sixth year. So that is a distribution. The owner of the field is entitled to decide who to give it to, because the Gemara says, time of the Nesina, because the Torah there uses the word Nesina. And even an Ani of Yisrael, you could take it from his hands. The Amar Rabbi Lai, Gamar Lager Lager Mehasam. We learn out based on Xerishava. Malahala Muzarani Al Shalo, Avkan Muzarani Al Shalo. Just like in the earlier distributions, even though there was no tova sana, they were not actually distributed. The ani can take it, and if the baal bayis were to take it for himself, the ani can literally go into the house and take back what belongs to him. Here too, by the meiser ani, even though there is a distribution over here, if the baal bayis decides I'm not giving it, so the ani can come and take it. Ushar matanas kahuna kagon zro lachai vekeva emosin osol lo mikom lekoin v'lo milevi lo levi. And now, I could breathe. And now, we're asking the question of the Gemara. So it sounds like now, at the end of the Braisa, that one Kohen could take from another Kohen, and one Levi could take from another Levi. Ha mi Levi le Kohen motzien. So that means to say that the simple deduction of the Braisa is that if the Levi were to have Zor l'chai v'keva, he is responsible and obligated to give it to a Kohen. So ama ikre am. Now, if that's true, so where do Levi stand in terms of which camp they fall under? Seemingly, they fall under the camp of Am. So the Gemara says, so what's the discussion of Rav, whether or not they do or they do not belong in Am? Clearly from the Braisa, they do. So the Gemara gives an answer that supports Rav's doubt. Kigon hazro velo zroa. So even though the Braisa said zro l'chai v'keva, the Braisa just meant something similar to it. It didn't actually mean this as the example. It just simply meant this is an example of. Now the Gemara says, now if we're not talking about Zor L'chai V'Keva, what are we talking about? Umayni or Maaser Rishon. Oh, the Braisa is talking about Maaser Rishon. To which the Gemara says, what? The Gemara is talking about Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is not something that goes from a Levi to a Kohen. The Levi is the recipient of the Maaser Rishon. Like, what are we talking about? Maaser Rishon to Levi who? So the Gemara says, Kareb Elazar ben Azari de Tanya. You remember the Gemara back in Yevamos? So Truma Lekoin Maaser Rishon LaLevi de Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says Truma goes to a Kohen and the Maaser goes to a Levi. And we thought we all knew that, which is correct. That was the original plan. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Af Lekoin. So Amadam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Af Lekoin. Lekoin v'lo Levi mi Amar. So the Gemara says, what does that mean that Maaser Rishon can also go to the Kohen? It can also go to the Kohen, but the Braisa says that these allocations, and again, we're talking about Maaser Rishon, are specifically designed to go to the Kohen and not the Levi. So the Gemara says, that's correct. In Labastet Kansinu Ezra. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a historical takana that was made by Ezra. Ezra, when returning to Eretz Yisrael, together with his very small band of Zionistic Jews, so it wasn't a lot of them. A small percentage of the Jewish population went back with Ezra. And on top of that, the Levim opted not to go back with Ezra. Ezra was so upset with the Levim who did not come back with him. So Ezra made a kenas. He gave a punitive fine to the Levim. You didn't come back with me to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to be entitled to your Maaser Rishon. Now, how can Ezra do such a thing? So I can employ over here the idea of Hefker based in Hefker, meaning the Chachamim have this kind of monetary power. And so therefore, they made a kenas against the Levim. So Ema de Kansinu Ezra de lo yavinu lehu Mishkan minay mi amar. So the Gemara says, okay, even if all this is correct, which it is, but it still doesn't work within the Braisa, Because the Brisa is talking about how it's going to be taken from the Levi and given to the Kohen. Even if we're talking about Maaser Rishon, and even if we're talking about after the Takanas Ezra, where Maaser Rishon is primarily to be given to the Kohanim and not to the Leviim, but that doesn't mean, even within this Takana, that you take it away from the Leviim to give to the Kohanim, that far Ezra didn't go. Elokigon Zerah V'lo Zerah, Ma'ani Ureshet Hages. So the Gemara says, okay. So over here, what we're discussing is not Zerah L'chai V'keva, but we're talking about the Reshet Hages, the first shearings of the sheep. The first shearings of the sheep, although it is Matnas Kohuna and it's given to the Kohen, if a Levi were to have sheep and the Levi were to shear the sheep, so he would be responsible and required to give it to a Kohen. That's what the Brisa is talking about. Okay. So basically what comes out now from the Gemara over here is that at this point in time, we have defended Rav Safek. Rav has a Safek as to whether or not Levi falls under the camp of Am or does not fall under the camp of Am. As a result of the suffix, so if a Levi had an animal, would he have to give Matnas Kohuna? The answer, of course, is no, based on the suffix, because again, Amotzi Mechaveir Olav Araya, meaning the Kohen's coming over and saying, hey, give me my Matanos, and the Levi can legitimately say, based on Rav Suffix, well, I don't know if I owe you. So that much we can say. The Levi is not entitled to take the Matnas Kohuna. Rav made that point earlier. And so far, what we've done up until now is we quoted a number of Brisos and Mishnayos, and supporting one side or another, and every time the Gemara has come around to say that we could still support Rav Safek, Rav can live in this world of Safek. Yeah, that part seems to be that seems to be correct. Okay, and let's pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. So again, just a quick recap. We finished the halacha of Rav Chista regarding if you were to destroy the Matnas Kohuna, you do not have to reimburse, and the reason why is because it's either based on a drasha or it's mamashein lo tovim. The Gemara spent the remainder of yesterday's daf and the beginning of today's daf going over numerous brises and mishnayos that either support or attack that position, but the Gemara has successfully defended the opinion of Rav Chista. At the very bottom of this amud, we'll see it tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, so we'll see that the Gemara passes like Rav Chista. Furthermore, we went over the halacha of Levi. The halacha of Rav. Rav says that a Levi does not have to give the Zerah L'chai V'keva, and it's based on a suffix. He's not sure whether or not the Levi is, in fact, considered part of the Am or not considered part of the Am, therefore he does not have to give Zerah L'chai V'keva. He's certainly by all means not entitled to take the Zerah L'chai V'keva, but he does not have to give it based on the suffix. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha.